the Supreme Court ruled on Monday that their 2010 Citizens United decision, allowing unlimited corporate spending on political campaigns, applies to state and local elections as well as national ones. The decision struck down a 100-year-old Montana law that forbade corporations from spending money on political candidates or parties in state elections. Montana's campaign law was enacted in 1912 to rein in corruption caused by the unbridled political spending of copper mining companies. Montana's state Supreme Court last year upheld the law, ruling that the state's history of corruption justified the ban on corporate spending. However, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the lower court's decision on the grounds of its Citizens United ruling that, quote, independent expenditures, including those made by corporations, do not give rise to corruption, end of quote. The court did not hear any arguments in the case because it determined that the Citizens United decision clearly applied to it. The dissenting opinion, written by Justice Stephen Breyer and supported by the other three Democrat-nominated justices, argued that Montana's history with corporate donations, quote, casts grave doubt on the court's supposition that independent expenditures do not corrupt or appear to do so. Critics of the ruling contend that this decision bolsters corporate political power while hindering the influence of citizens. The ruling comes at a time when increased numbers of Americans, such as Occupy Wall Street activists, are voicing their disenchantment with corporate money in politics. In light of Monday's decision, activists say it now appears that the only way to counter the Citizens United decision will be to pass a constitutional amendment curtailing corporate money in politics, unless a new court majority eventually overturns the ruling. My guest is Craig Holman. He is the government affairs lobbyist with Public Citizen. Welcome to Uprising, Craig.
Hi, glad to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, explain for our listeners what exactly the Citizens United ruling, when applied to states, means. Federally speaking, of course, we're seeing the 2010 decision in action during this presidential election. But I suppose states assumed that their own laws would prevail when it came to state elections.
First of all, the Citizens United versus FEC decision that came out of this new Supreme Court on January 21st, 2010, pretty much shocked not only America, but the academic and the legal communities as well. In the Citizens United decision, this was a court case that began as a small challenge to the McCain-Feingold law by a group named Citizens United that was funding some of the ads with corporate money. And those ads were viewed as perhaps being electioneering communications. And so they were trying to challenge the McCain-Feingold law to get a little exception for their own advertising for their documentary. And, you know, the Supreme Court, before George Bush left the White House, he appointed two new justices to the court, Roberts and Alito. And that casts our current Supreme Court to a 5-4 conservative majority. And not just conservative, I mean, really, as we're finding out now, more like a corporatist majority. And that new court looked at the Citizens United case, said, we don't want to rule on this. Instead, we want to rule on the essentially a century of political tradition in which we banned corporate financing of elections. And they reversed previous Supreme Court decisions that came out, just one of them just 3 years earlier, and other Supreme Court decisions, and declare that corporations shall be treated as persons under the First Amendment of the Constitution and therefore can spend freely and unlimited amounts of money in our elections. That was a shocking, shocking decision. And it really has amounted to creating a bit of a rebellion against the Supreme Court. Not only do most Americans find this ruling objectionable, about 80% of Americans disagree with the Supreme Court on that, and that includes Republicans, Democrats, and independents alike, but that five majority on the court, I think, was even shocked by the scalding dissent of the other four justices on the court, saying this is ridiculous. Corporations are not persons. And then to add to that rebellion, we had the Montana Supreme Court, where after the Citizens United decision, they were faced with the exact same challenge because Montana had a state law prohibiting corporate spending in state elections. And that was challenged in court, and the Montana Supreme Court simply could not muster agreeing with the U.S. Supreme Court. And so they issued their own ruling saying Montana's got a special circumstance of corruption that they can prove in by corporate spending in elections, and therefore their state law gets to stand despite Citizens United.
Craig, what is the definition of corruption that both courts are using? Because the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, explicitly says that independent expenditures, including those made by corporations, do not give rise to corruption. What do they mean by corruption?
Corruption, by the five justices on the Roberts Court, is being interpreted very narrowly as quid pro quo, meaning that I hand you money and you give me an official favor directly in return because I'm giving you money. The five justices appear to be shying away from the more broader definition of corruption that includes the appearance of corruption. That is, when someone hands over a large amount of money to an office holder and gets an official favor in return, whether or not there was a provable quid pro quo, that has the appearance of an official trading favors for money. And that used to be the standard that was widely upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court prior to this new court.
Right, because it doesn't have to be anything in writing anymore. I mean, if oil corporations decide they want to fund their favorite candidate, it's understood that that candidate who may win on the backs of their money, if they want to continue receiving money from those corporations, must make decisions favorable to those corporations.
And that's always been a critical element of campaign finance law as well as ethics rules and ethics laws, because it's so difficult to actually bring in a tape recorder and tape an office holder saying, I'm going to vote yes because you just gave me $10,000. I mean, that requires an FBI sting operation.
And most likely they probably don't even say these things knowing that such statements can be construed against them.
That's right. They rarely say those things. I mean, once in a while you might run into that with Rod Blagojevich, for instance, but not often. I mean, it's a nod and wink affair going on here. And, you know, if you take away that apparent standard, it's going to make it exceedingly difficult to try to prosecute corruption.
In the case of Montana, the case was brought up by a conservative coalition called American Tradition Partnership. Did this organization, and they sued the state's attorney general, did the group bring this lawsuit directly, you think, to challenge state's ability to and the ability of any state to have its own state-by-state campaign finance reform?
There is a fairly concerted effort, really being coordinated by an attorney out of Indiana named Jim Bopp, to try to dismantle all elements of campaign finance reforms at the federal, state, and local levels. And so all of these groups tend to work in concert with each other, in coordination. And, you know, I believe when the American Tradition Partnership first challenged the Montana law, they just assumed this would be an easy victory. You know, given Citizens United, they just wanted to take down the Montana state law. And I suspect they were very, very shocked by the Montana Supreme Court just deciding to buck the U.S. Supreme Court in the Citizens United decision. By the way, I want to emphasize how important this Montana challenge was and how it shows that the U.S. Supreme Court has a rebellion on its hands. You know, the majority of the Montana Supreme Court just said, you know, we can't uphold the Citizens United, not in Montana anyway. Even the dissenting opinion in the Montana Supreme Court said, of course Citizens United is a wrong decision. Of course corporations are not people. We all know that. However, just because the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this way, I have to dissent. That was the dissent. in that Montana case. All the major state officials in Montana, the governor, the attorney general, the senator, John Tester, all condemn the Citizens United decision, and we're hoping that the Montana challenge would at least convince one of those five justices to switch sides and reconsider Citizens United. That was not what happened.
And it's interesting to see the hypocrisy of conservatives who defend these decisions when it comes to issues like this. States' rights, which they champion, are not as important. Of course, when it comes to issues like immigration, then states' rights to do what they want within their states are all important. But in this case, apparently, the federal government and the federal ruling of the Supreme Court is what they hold dearest.
Well, that's right. These five justices on the Supreme Court had no qualms about overriding state campaign finance laws in Montana and everywhere else. And by the way, this also applies to judicial elections. So now corporations can get directly involved in financing candidates for judicial office as well. So this is an across-the-board federal, state, local, and judicial elections where corporations can make unlimited expenditures. And I also want to highlight the fact that these five justices really didn't think through this decision. You know, when they talk about corporations as sort of like being a unitary whole entity that participates now in elections, well, since we've never had direct corporate financing of elections before, we've never set up corporate governance procedures to regulate that. As a result, right after Citizens United, what it meant was the CEO of a corporation can dip into the corporate till, take money out, not tell anybody, not tell the shareholders, not tell the board of directors, not tell the public, and then spend that money however the CEO chooses for or against candidates. That's not corporate spending. That's allowing a CEO to spend everyone else's money to further the CEO's partisan preferences. Our court just did not think this one through.
Craig Holman, your organization, Public Citizen, has maintained since quite early on that perhaps the only way to overturn this decision from 2010 and just sort of reaffirmed in the states this Monday is to pass a constitutional amendment that curtails corporate money in politics. What is the status of that effort right now?
Well, it's now become evident that we do have to pursue a constitutional amendment. To tell the truth, I really was hoping that the Supreme Court would reconsider its decision. And by the way, that's not without precedent. During the New Deal era, the five conservative justices on that court were routinely striking down the New Deal legislation. And then when public reaction was so hostile against the Supreme Court, one of the justices switched sides and they started upholding all the same legislation. That's what I was really hoping would happen, but that is not going to happen. And so we do have to pursue a constitutional amendment. There are now about 14 constitutional amendments that have been introduced in Congress. More than 100 members of Congress have signed up behind one of these 14 constitutional amendments. And the pressure is coming from all around the country at this point to get Congress to submit a constitutional amendment to the states. There have been five states that have already approved resolutions asking Congress to submit a constitutional amendment to the states for ratification, and about 250 local city councils and county governments throughout the country have passed similar resolutions. Now that the Montana decision is over, the pressure is mounting to get a constitutional amendment. And the constitutional amendment, by the way, I mean, people disagree on what the actual wording would be, and I don't take this lightly either. But, you know, generally something that would recognize Congress's and the legislature's authority to regulate money in politics, something on that order.
Craig Holman, where can listeners find out more about this effort?
We have a webpage called resolutionsweek.org is a good webpage to go to, and there you'll find all the various numbers as well as the various proposals that are being debated for a constitutional amendment.
resolutionsweek.org. We'll post that on our website, uprisingradio.org, later today. Craig Holman, thanks so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Craig Holman is Public Citizen's government affairs lobbyist, and Public Citizen's own website is simply citizen.org.